Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepard.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Epic. Colossal. Unbelievable. Phenomenal. Semifinals. Wimbledon. Anderson. Isner going at it right now. 18-18 in the fifth set. Isner's up 30-love.
40-love.
40-love. Who will break serve? Nobody has broken serve, obviously, in this...
In the tiebreak,
epic
right.
Tiebreaker, which is only done... at Wimbledon. Unbelievable. This is, I don't care if you like tennis or not. I like tennis. I used to love tennis, played tennis. But you cannot be a sports fan and not love what's going on here right now.
At least appreciate it.
Yeah. It is really unbelievable. We're talking coming on 6 hours very shortly here.
Yeah, 5 hours, 51 minutes as of right now. Now Isner's up 40-30.
Yeah, we'll keep you up there. Hey, welcome.
It's been fascinating.
It's awesome. It's Sheeman and Shepherd 2-6 here on a Friday, live on local Monday through Friday. Craig's off. He'll be back on Monday. Chris is counting down the seconds, really, yeah, the minutes before he's out of here, but he'll be a part of the show today as well. The phone number 239-337-3776, 239-337-3776. Lots to get to today. Lots. We've got more NFL news for you. We've got players losing half their Twitter accounts. Ray Lewis, our followers, I should say. We've got some great baseball stuff to tell you about. Mookie Betts with the at-bat of the year last night for the Red Sox. And speaking of the Red Sox, we'll have Rob Bradford join us as well, who covers the Red Sox for WEI in Boston and the Red Sox Radio Network. He will join us from Fenway at 4:30, not only talk Sox, but talk about baseball, the American League East in general, trade rumors, all of that good stuff. Rob, one of the best in the business. Isaiah Thomas has a new home again. Again. Wow. This guy was about to get a max contract not too long ago, and now he's got a one-year, $2 million deal with Nuggets. Some college football news to tell you about. And other NFL news, too. We've got the clinic going on for officials in Dallas. Al Riveron with some interesting things to say, the senior vice president of NFL officiating. We'll get to that. Again, college football news to tell you about, too. The Miami Heat, though, also got some interesting numbers. Barry Jackson had a cool column today in the Miami Herald about what the Heat are trying to do. They have not made a lot of noise thus far. They're just trying to dump salaries somehow so they can make some noise.
Yeah, they went out. They said it in my Sports Center. They re-signed Wayne Ellington.
Yep.
The Heat have a team salary of $127 million. They're over the luxury tax by $3.2 million.
We have breaking news, Chris, in the NFL.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Hold on 1 second.
Breaking news.
All right, just roll with it. Something's happening.
Okay. Adam Schefter reporting that DeMarco Murray, the league's former offensive player of the year, is announcing in a couple of minutes on ESPN2 NFL Live at 2 o'clock, which is happening right now, actually. He's retiring from football at the age of 30. DeMarco Murray retiring from the NFL at the age of 30. Wow. I mean, he was going all different, couple different places up until the last, and it's amazing.
That's surprising with, I get it, he's a 30-year-old running back, but he was somewhat effective last year with Tennessee. I didn't think that was the right place, but it was just, what, 3 years ago where he was?
Offensive player of the year.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
Looks to me like the Bills might be in the market for a running back at some point?
They are bringing in former Charger Brandon Oliver.
Okay.
They're bringing him in. I mean, he was in 8 games last year. He rushed for 83 yards on 35 carries. But certainly they are preparing, and rightly so, they have to prepare about the possibility that LeSean Jackson's not going to be there.
McCoy.
They got Chris Ivory.
Huh? LeSean McCoy.
Oh, LeSean McCoy.
Said LeSean Jackson. I don't know who that is.
LeSean McCoy. Shady McCoy. They have Chris Ivory, have Tavares Cadet, and Marcus Murphy as well. running backs, which we've talked about all week long. Jameis Winston's trainer is wearing a t-shirt today, was on Instagram. Not Jameis. Jameis wore a white Nike shirt. I want to be clear. But it still doesn't look good. When Jameis Winston's trainer, did you see this, Chris?
No.
He's wearing a t-shirt that says Jameis against the world. No. 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 If you're Jameis Winston, you tell him to take it off. That is not good. It's not good for players, your teammates that have supported you through the suspension. It's not good for fans. It doesn't look good at all. Jameis Winston against the world, being warned by his trainer. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Isner is up 19-18, but down 40-15. Again, in this fifth set, and now it is 19-19. And on we go. 239-337-3776. Lots going on today before the weekend. We've also got a couple of interesting stories in the NFL regarding, let's see, what are they? NFL Nation, a great piece on ESPN, NFL Nation, about teams that, up-and-coming teams, teams that are on the hot seat, players that are on the hot seat. Everything is by division. Who will make the playoffs? Who won't? And then they got a cool story about the best nickname in every NFL locker room and the genesis of that nickname. So we'll get to that as well. Plus, we got giveaways today. Coming up later on this hour, we're going to have a pair of tickets to our bus trip to the Trop with the Red Sox and the Rays. It's coming up on August 25th. We'll do that in just a little bit. We've got a couple of those to give away today. And we also have a free round of golf at Stony Brook that we'll be giving away today as well. And I promise that is going to be the case. Again, 239-337-3776, 239-337-3776. And
these two guys are exhausted. Anderson just whiffed.
Yeah.
He just whiffed. I mean, he was trying to hit the ball, and that's the second time. Well,
he short-hopped one earlier, went right to his legs, a la Buckner.
He whiffed one. He just whiffed one, and he shanked another one about 10 minutes ago or so.
And he just came right back and hit a beautiful cross-court shot from deep on his right side all the way to the left and hit the corner.
You can get to a computer or a television or something to flip this on, I mean, it really is. I mean,
well, the best thing is we can cut to this live now anytime we want.
Yeah, it kind of helps that it's... Yeah.
We're waiting for something close to a match point here. It has not happened.
No, it hasn't. We're 19-19 in the fifth set, obviously. Isner up 40-15. And it helps, I think, that there's an American in this.
Absolutely.
We can kind of wrap ourselves in the flag, something we haven't been able to do this summer. World Cup. But seriously, I mean, Isner probably most famous for playing the three-day match at Wimbledon three years ago, four years ago, that ended 70-68.
Yep. Jason Naples says, "Wow, we understand you hate Winston. Remember you were in Florida." Hey, Jason, buddy, you're talking to the guy who had the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game last year. I had him at 11 wins. They're going to be shy. Before what happened, I don't hate Jameis. I hate what he did. And I hate the way the NFL has manipulated the system and not explained exactly. They've explained what happened and still have not implemented their own policy for player conduct at six games. I don't hate Jameis. I'd like the Buccaneers. I want him to win. I root for him to win. I'll still be rooting for him when Fitzpatrick is playing for him. Don't give me that nonsense. I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but I mean, I went out on a limb. I thought it wasn't even a bad pick.
11-5.
I thought they'd go 11-5 last year and fight for the NFC title game, but I was wrong. So please, I said already this year, how many times? I think they have the best front seven, arguably one of the best front sevens in all of football. So, and I think Fitzpatrick, if he can just stay within himself and not try to do too much the first three games, they come out of that 1-2. We'll see what happens. I'm still not entirely convinced 100% what's going to happen with Winston if this woman, Kate, files a civil lawsuit. You still have to worry about all that stuff. But we'll take it one day at a time. I just think with all the PR, bad PR against him right now, it does not look good when his trainer puts on a shirt that says Jameis against the world. Stop it. Please. You put yourself in this situation. Not everybody else. You did. Not you, Jason.
Not you, Jason.
And he puts Gold Knowles. Well, good luck.
Yeah, go Knowles. Great. Go Knowles.
Florida State, too. I'm a Hurricane fan first, Gator second, and then But I don't want to see Florida State lose except when they play Miami.
And same with Hurricanes first, Gators fan second, yeah. Knights fan third, Bulls fan fourth.
I'm not a Knights fan.
No?
I'm a Knights fan, but I mean, I'm a Knights fan. They don't play anybody. You know, I rooted for them last year against Auburn. Yeah. Absolutely. The people in this building who went there that thought that Auburn would win by 30.
Oh, I didn't go. I didn't,
I know you didn't go to UCF.
I thought Auburn would win by 30, though.
No, I like. Look, I like.
I'm not going to try to Tim Brando everybody and say, "Oh, I knew UCF was the better team going into that game." Okay, I guess.
I'd like to see other four. I'd like to see Lane Kiffin and FAU do well. FI, let them all. I want them all to do well. It's great for the area. It's great for the area. It's great. I mean, the recruiting wars must be nuts. I can't even imagine. What do you have to go through to sell your program to some of these kids? You know, especially the three biggies that, you know, Miami and FSU and Florida. I mean, you'd love to be a fly on the wall when you get all these 3, 4, 5-star recruits and see exactly, you know, I know some systems fare other players' styles as opposed to others, but still, I mean, you can't go wrong in any of those places. I mean, if you want to play big-time college football, so I would see them all do well. Plenty of talent in this state. Best football state in the country. Yes, better than Texas. They're still serving, their second serves are like 100 to 110.
Yeah, they're, it's 2020 now. Isner's back on serve. He's up 15, love. It's
6 hours and 1 minute right now.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm not a tennis guy.
6 hours and 1 minute.
I'm not tennis guy. I'm soccer guy. I get excited about the World Cup. I'm not tennis guy. I'm all in on this right now. All in on this right now. This is fascinating right here.
You cannot be a sports fan and not love what's going on. Isn't there up 30 love? It's just a question of who. They're obviously both exhausted, but who's going to be more exhausted that when somebody's going to have to break serve here? That's the only way that.
Again, and we could say it has to end eventually. Well, it doesn't have to end today.
Well, 7-12 right now in London.
Yep.
At
center court. It'll stay light there for another couple hours.
Djokovic and Nadal are supposed to play. It was supposed to start at 12:30 Eastern time. That ain't happening.
I don't know why they're not moving them to the second court.
Because
not
they
center,
would lose.
You know.
They wouldn't have the.
Is that it? Attendance. They don't. They want the attendance.
The semis have to be at center court. Yeah.
No, I keep it at center court, or do you want to get both matches in today?
You keep it at center court. You can always play the men's semis tomorrow after the women's final. Right, Serena in the final tomorrow.
Or do you push back the women's final?
No, I don't think you do that. I think that would be unfair to the ladies.
Well, because there's always the pomp and circumstance around the finals where you go through the trophy celebration afterwards and you get the on-court interviews and all that.
Yeah, but most of the ladies are going to take is a couple of hours. In fact, that's if it goes three sets.
Three sets, right.
Yeah, it won't take long. The way Serena, I mean, I know she stumbled a little bit, but man, what a story. And my guess is she wins her straight sets tomorrow. Gets done in an hour.
Imagine that.
Unbelievable.
She got what? She gave birth in January?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's 7 months
really,
later.
It really is.
It's unbelievable. 6 months later.
NFL is a joke. How embarrassing it is there are young kids today that have to look at that type of role model. Commissioner Goodell is going to ruin the NFL as it is today. The money that goes to the NFL will soon be drastically reduced, especially with this new flag football league and the new football coming soon. Look, first of all, I learned at a very young age, the only role models you should have are your parents, maybe some teachers, or family members.
People you know.
People you know. You start relying on the whole on athletes of any kind to be a role model. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. I mean, you can look up to, or same thing with Hollywood. Same thing with any, you know, public figure.
Now that you're bringing this up, I remember going some assignment we had in fourth grade. I want to say, and it was talk about a hero. You know, and it was saying not your parents. Pick somebody in the public eye, past or present. And I chose Barry Bonds.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why I just thought of that. I don't know what triggered it, but maybe that wasn't the best choice for myself.
And you wrote a paper on it?
Yeah, you had to write like a little 3-paragraph paper on it or something like that.
I love Barry Bonds. Do you still have it?
No, I don't. So I wonder if my mom does. I'll have to ask her.
All right, so I saw your video today before the show. So you are, you're going on vacation, but it really isn't a vacation because you're going with your son, which is great, bonding and all that stuff.
Yeah, all that.
And you go to Disney World, and I know you talked about you're going on a Disney cruise, and you said you went out today and spent a bunch of money on Disney T-shirts.
80.
80 bucks on
well,
Disney
t-shirts. Well, hold on. I spent 60 on Disney t-shirts, 80 because I bought Everett
like
a little
what?
Jacket.
Give me an example. Mickey Mouse.
So I got four shirts. One is a all-black shirt. It's got a little white pocket with a bunch of, like, Mickey Mouse doodles on the pocket.
Mickey Mouse doodles.
Yep. I got another one. It's just a navy blue shirt with, like, Donald Duck, like an old-school Donald Duck.
T-shirt?
Yeah, t-shirt.
I was like Donald. He's feisty.
He's feisty, right? Yeah. I got Mickey laying on a hammock with a drink in his hand, and it says chilling underneath.
Whoa, that's a little risque.
Pretty cool, right?
That's a little risque.
And then what's the other one? Oh, it's like a, say like a 90s color scheme, like the bright reds and yellows and greens and purples and blues going all around. And
so very flamboyant. So you want to stick out on this cruise. That's what you're
saying.
Well,
I wanted to wear Disney stuff, and they don't make, you know, muted Disney stuff.
I am. So you're going on this cruise. When do you leave?
We go up to Disney tomorrow.
Yeah.
Boat leaves Port Canaveral on Monday.
And you're gone for how long? 5 days? 6 days?
Boat gets back. We get off the boat Friday morning.
Where's the cruise going?
To the Bahamas and back.
Okay. You're going to have your son with you the whole time. You got some other family members.
That's
too.
I got my dad and two brothers and sister.
All right. So do you have.
Downloaded.
You have a little flow chart. You have a little schedule of who you're going to pawn the kid off to at certain times of day. And
it's not written in ink.
Schedule.
Yeah, but there's a there's a rotation that I'm going to have. That's for sure.
Have you? Are there family members agreed to this rotation? Or
no,
are you assuming they're going to agree to
no,
it?
No, but my thought on it is if I hand you a kid, you're not going to just not look after it. Him.
Really?
Use the right pronoun.
Really?
Yeah.
What if before you hand him that your child to a particular family member, they say, no, I got something to do.
I got to
go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
One of my brother's 17. My sister's 15. They're not doing anything.
They're not doing anything.
No, it'll be
fun,
though.
Will you pay them to babysit?
No, I'm not going to pay
them. They can't drink. So
exactly.
Drink the kid around.
That's the point.
So I picture you at the bar.
I won't be at the bar. Hopefully
no, I picture
there's
him with you and his little Mickey Mouse ears and everything else. I told you with a shot glass of milk. And
there you go.
You're having an ice.
I got to write that down so I remember that.
Yeah. Yep. Show that to your wife. Tell her it was my idea.
I've got this nasty habit of going Bailey's on ice on cruises after dinner.
That's
like
good,
a nice post-dinner drink.
Yeah.
Just one or two.
Yeah.
No, nothing too big. But, you know, maybe giving him a glass of milk to go with my Bailey's on ice.
Mm-hmm.
That could be good.
Yeah, good bonding time.
Exactly.
You know? Absolutely. Tied at 21-21 now in the fifth set.
Isner serving up love 15.
Yep.
Yeah, so it'll be fine. But I am, the second I get through the door Friday afternoon, handed him to mom, and I'm telling them to leave. Say, go somewhere else. I'm staying at home by myself for a few hours.
Wow.
Playing golf. I might play four rounds of golf this weekend. Next weekend, I should say.
Yeah?
I'm already looking ahead.
Yeah? I'll get tomorrow and Sunday. But, yeah. But you're going to have fun on this cruise or what?
I mean, I'll have a good time.
All right.
Definitely have a good time. All right, it's Disney,
and
man.
You get Toy Story Land tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Toy Story Land tomorrow.
So you and 8 million other people that get in line at 4 o'clock. Are you a 4 o'clock in the morning get up kind of guy?
No.
Stand in line?
No. I'll wake up at 4 o'clock. I've woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go somewhere, you know, other than like travel and stuff.
Yeah.
One time. Not one time, but for one occasion. It's to wake up to set my chair out on the 18th green at Augusta for the Masters. That's the only thing that's worth waking up at 4 in the morning for.
Once again, I apologize. This is a couple things this week. I've written them down too. We just get caught up and stuff. But Morgan Madness will take place again today. Episode four will take place coming up today at 4:45. And you don't want to miss that because it's outstanding the last 3 weeks.
That would be good.
So Morgan Madness today as well, 4:45. I got to go edit the Facebook post and put it in that. But, yeah, so lots going on today.
Unforced error by Anderson. Isner up 40-30.
Interesting.
21-21 in the fifth set.
Interesting. 239-337-3776. Let's see. I hate to break the news to you, but I don't think there's alcohol served on a Disney cruise.
No,
wrong,
you're,
sir.
You're
wrong.
You kidding me? Listen, Disney's all about the family, but you know what Disney's all about as well? The money.
I remember.
And $9 for a beer, that's good money. They sell beer in Disney parks.
You weren't even close to being born yet, but when the first Tron came out in the 80s, and that movie was PG, that was the first Disney movie that wasn't G, people lost their minds.
Hmm.
It was a horrible movie. The remake, I didn't see it. Might have been better.
The remake was not what we would say is good.
It was a continuation of the last movie.
Yeah, the remake wasn't really good. I watched it one time.
But if you think Disney, you talk about hypocrites. I mean, please, as far as not having alcohol or this, I mean, they basically run the entertainment industry right now. You can't work in this business or in Hollywood without working for Disney at some point. So you're going to get PG-13 R. Disney is not. And people forget the original Mickey Mouse was this racist, horrible character. You know, it's not like Walt Disney was this saint, by the way. Go look at his bio. Don't go by the Mary Poppins movie. Trust me.
I mean, don't go all Papa John on us here, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, he was not a saint by any stretch of the imagination.
It is no longer the Papa John Stadium where the Louisville Cardinal play their football games. It will now be Cardinal Stadium. That's not very surprising.
Nope.
It shouldn't be.
Nope, not at all. Well, DeMarco Murray is retiring from the NFL at the age of 30. Other NFL story, too. Former Giants head coach Ben McAdoo can't help himself.
Oh,
taking cheap shots at the Redskins, Eagles, and Cowboys. Said Nate Solder isn't a very good player. You're not doing yourself any favors here, Ben McAdoo. You are an epic failure with that football team. Sorry, Ben, but you were. And there are a lot of people who think the Giants are going to win, be very competitive this year. We'll see. All depends on which Eli shows up this year. There's always good Eli or bad Eli, but we'll see. So lots to talk about again. I'm going to get to the best nickname in every locker room, too, in the NFL and give you the genesis of it also. NFL Nation on ESPN had a pretty cool piece today as well about players and teams to watch for in every single division this year. Some good stuff. We got baseball stuff. I mean, the Red Sox are 37 games over 500, first time since 1949. They're 66-29. Just an unbelievable at bat last night for Mookie Betts. Arguably the best in the game all year. It was just fantastic. By the way, if you've never read Summer of 49 by David Havelstam, I believe, read it. It is one of the best sports books ever. And it's about the Yankees, Red Sox, and even the Cleveland Indians going at it in the American League. And it's basically DiMaggio Williams. But even if you're just a sports fan or a baseball history fan and you haven't read that book, it's must read. It is compelling. It is great stuff. Great interviews that he did throughout that book with all the former Yankee and Red Sox players. And it was Williams versus DiMaggio. I mean, it's right up there. Boys of Summer by Roger Kahn in about the 50s. Brooklyn Dodgers, also one of the best, not only sports books, but baseball books, in my opinion, ever written. Great, great stuff. So embrace the past. Embrace the past. All right, right now. Yes, right now. We're going to take call number 9 at 239-337-3776. Get a pair of tickets for our cool bus trip on August 25th, Saturday, to go see the Red Sox and Rays. It's a 6:05 start or 6:10 start at the Trop. Call number 9 right now. Pair of tickets on our party bus. I'll be there. Craig will be there. Chris will be there. Tickets get you on the bus and inside the ballpark for a game. We're going to have a ball. Pair of tickets for the bus trip to the Trop on 8:25 at 6 p.m. We're going to leave here about 3:30 or so. 239-337-3776. Caller number 9 right now. Sheeman and Shepherd rolling along on a Friday at 99.3 ESPN.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepherd.
And back here, Friday edition of Sheeman and Shepherd. Last day for Chris before he hits out on fake day. Pete Shepherd here with you. Craig will be back on Monday, and then all three of us will be back together in a couple of weeks. And by then, it'll be just about getting right into training camps and and NFL training camps, and hopefully we're talking football and not suspensions, although we will be talking about suspensions and sexual assault allegations and whatever. So far today, nothing new about on LeSean McCoy as far as I've seen. But we'll keep you posted there as well. Ray Lewis lost a half his followers because Twitter purged all the fake accounts. But he paid a bunch of people, tried to pay a bunch of people, I guess, to
keep them?
To follow him. Yeah. What a joke. Who would do that? I lost about 400.
Who are you paying?
Paying nobody. Paying people to follow me on Twitter or not. You can't follow me at PSHEP326. You know, but I was up to almost 21,000. Now it's like 20,440. So I lost like 600. Actually, I lost like 600 or 500.
Huh.
Yeah. But, I mean, you don't know who follows you. You don't. I mean, I don't have it set up so it, like, it's that private that I have to approve everybody. So if you want to follow me, it's at PSHEP326. I just tweet out about the show.
I don't think the station lost any. If we did, it was, you know, a handful.
Cool. Absolutely.
That's good.
239-337-3776. Lots going on. Epic battle. Isner up 23-22. Anderson serving up 15-love. And the fifth is 6 hours and 21 minutes thus far. The men's semifinals at Wimbledon. Djokovic and Nadal looking to,
maybe
play. I don't know if those even started today.
This is 12 minutes away from becoming the second longest match in major, or Grand Slam history. The longest, obviously, the Isner, is it Mouet? Mahut. Nicholas Mahut. That's who it was.
Yeah.
Mahut, the match that lasted 11 hours.
He's a hoot. Let's talk about the Miami Heat for a little bit here before, because I have lots of NFL news to talk about. But Barry Jackson had an interesting piece today about the Heat drawing a line in its bid to shed salary, and here's how they're going to do it. The question is whether and he starts off with the Heat so far have drawn a line in its attempt to shed salary, showing no interest in sweetening deals to entice teams to take its sizable contracts. And the question is whether that will change, especially if Dwayne Wade returns to Miami and pushes the Heat even further above the luxury tax threshold. So he, quote, two high-ranking execs with other teams said this week that Hassan Whiteside, Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters have all been made available by Miami in trade discussions. But they said that in the team's conversation with the Heat, Miami hasn't offered a first-round pick. Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, or any of its other appealing assets as a carrot for a team to take on any of those contracts. So here's the thing. The Heat are passing luxury tax threshold by more than $3 million to sign Wayne Ellington, as Chris pointed out. And Miami's projected tax payment would be $4.9 million. But a team's tax is based on its payroll on the final day of the regular season. So given the Heat, you know, 9 months to get under the tax. So if Wade returns, for the Heat's $5.3 million exception, the Heat's tax would balloon well over $10 million. I don't see that happening, Chris. I don't see Dwayne Wade.
No.
Coming back.
I don't either. Feel like his career is done.
Yep. The Nuggets last night shedded $21 million in salary, and they're going to save $43 million in potential luxury tax payments. By doing what they did. They traded forward Kenneth Farid and Daryl Arthur and a 2019 protected first-round pick and a 2020 second-round pick to Brooklyn for Isaiah Whitehead, who'll be waived. And then the Heat, what they want to do, move big contracts such as Johnson's to a team willing to absorb the salary for a similar or slightly worse player, earning less or better yet for a future draft pick. So none of those deals have materialized, and I'm not sure if they're going to be honest with you, but Miami's efforts to trim payroll continue this week. So Whiteside is due $24.4 million. I can't stress enough how disappointed it was to watch him just collapse in the playoffs and just not give a crap.
Well, I saw a report, I believe it was yesterday, maybe a couple days ago, that said Spoelstra and Whiteside have reopened the lines of communication, trying to put last year behind them. In hopes that turning, because
they really have no choice.
If you're the Miami Heat, you don't have a choice, right? Nobody's going to take on that contract. Nobody's going to take him on with how bad he was against the Sixers in the opening round of the playoffs last year. Nobody's going to take him on after talking to the media about how he should have been out on the floor for an overtime loss at Brooklyn, which, true or not, you don't go to the media. I think that was more the Miami Heat's position on it. It doesn't matter if you felt like you should be out there. We're a team.
Yeah.
You're not going to go and try to create friction or fractures within the locker room. Nobody's going to take on Whiteside.
And certainly not after that performance in the playoffs last year, particularly the last couple of games. He's due $24.4 million and $27.1 million the final 2 years of his contract. Johnson's owed $19.2 million each of his final 2 years. And Waiters, who's coming off the ankle surgery, he's owed $11.5 million, then $12.1 million, then $12.7 million the final 3 years of his deal. So
he was playing really good basketball last year before he got shut down for the season. I know it's Dion Waiters, and we're going to say it's Dion Waiters. What are you talking about? He's not a good. I'm not saying he's a starter in the All-Star game, but he was playing good basketball last year.
Yep. So anyway, the Heat will play the Celtics at 6:30 Saturday at the Thomas and Mack Center on UNLV's campus on ESPN2, by the way. If they win, they'll play at 8 o'clock on Sunday on ESPN2. So it's a little tournament going on over there in the Summer League. Eric Glass said, quote, "I'm happy for the guys because it's one more opportunity they have to earn a job. That's the biggest thing." But are Heat fan? Are you excited if you're a Heat fan right now? Or you're stuck in limbo.
Right.
I mean, LeBron's gone, so you're
right.
To the West.
No,
so
that's
this, but.
You're exactly right.
Can you compete with the Celtics and 76ers and Toronto?
No.
Because Toronto, I still think Toronto's got the talent to be, at least in the regular season, good.
Right, right. We saw what happened with this Miami Heat team that's had no changes, and what has happened with the Philadelphia 76ers who had no changes. I mean, that series went five. It could have very easily gone four and been done. Mm-hmm. It was chippy. The games were close, but it wasn't a close series. I don't know what more the Miami Heat can do. They've put out a good product onto the court, good enough to get them the sixth seed last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sixth seed last year. And can they get to the five? I don't think so.
Well, what we all wanted to see was them get to
Cleveland.
To Cleveland.
Well, we wanted Cleveland to be able to hold on to the three spot so we would set up that Cleveland-Miami opening round. Obviously didn't get it. But just, you know, run through the teams in the East. Miami, not better than Boston. Not better than Toronto. Not better than Philly. Not better than Indiana. So now you're getting into that 4-5 region. Probably not better than Milwaukee. Sorry, you're forgetting about the Bucks. Not better than Milwaukee. There's some... I don't know what the Heat should do. I don't know if tearing it down is the right answer, because that franchise has been run and operated at such a high level for so long. But it's just, I don't know what the Heat should do. I really don't, because I don't want to see them tear it down.
No, I don't think they're going to tear it down, but they're stuck in no man's land right now. You know, I always compare it to what the old Washington Bullets were in the 80s.
Right.
They're stuck there in the middle. And unless you completely suck and crap out, that's the only way to rebuild.
That or
get lucky in the draft.
Make the best offer for Kawhi Leonard. But if you're not willing to part with the draft pick, you're not getting Kawhi Leonard.
But who are the Spurs going to want?
They're going to want
Whiteside. I mean, they're going to want him. I mean, well, maybe he switches his game. Maybe he. You know, I'd love to see him play for Popovich, because maybe you would get, you'd see him have a rebirth of sorts.
But they've got Aldridge.
Well, I know.
Yeah, you're not moving. Is Aldridge a true center, or do you want to have him play a four in a game where the stretch four is becoming more prevalent than the regular power forward spot?
I mean, they'd have to take on some of these contracts. They'd have to take on Whiteside, Johnson. Waiters, somebody would have to go. I just don't see that happening.
And that's where you're going to have to part with future first round draft picks. Yep. That's where you're going to have to part with some of your good young players, like a Josh Richardson. I know they don't want to get rid of Justice Winslow, but if you have Kawhi Leonard, is there really need for Justice Winslow anymore? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a kid that's going to be coming off the bench anyway.
I got an update on some Twitter numbers here. It's just, as I said, Twitter completed its fake account purge yesterday, this morning, I guess. So Ray Lewis had 712,000 followers before the purge, ended up with 364,700 followers. And Britt McHenry was around 362,800 before it was reduced to 223,300.
Yeah.
And Shaq Shaquille O'Neal lost a staggering 1 million followers. Unbelievable. All of a sudden, my 400 doesn't look so bad.
No.
Again, I don't know who fake accounts are. I don't pay attention enough to it. I know if people are overly personal and rude, I just block them, but that's very far and few between. I don't engage in a lot of nonsense. It's mostly tweeting about the show and retweeting other stuff, like from Field or from Adam Schefter, stuff like that.
Real quick, Anderson is up. Love 40. In the fifth set, tied 24-24, has triple break point.
Triple break point.
He had a double break point just before we went on air, and he kind of squandered it. Isner reeled off a few aces, but this match could take a turn not for the better for the American. And Isner wins the first break point. I mean, this is just...
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
And this guy, Anderson, he's been all over the map on this stuff. I mean, he's been... shouting to the crowd when he's up, you know, a couple points, getting ready to break Isner. He's tried to remain calm. Nothing's worked for him, but then again, nothing has worked for Isner as well.
Let's see. For the fourth year in a row, every SEC squad will have a day to run its own programming on the SEC network for a two-week stretch during the summer, as well as announced today by the SEC networks. By the way, Finney signed his new deal yesterday or the day before. So it is interesting. So, for example,
Anderson broke Isner 25-24 in the fifth set. Anderson with serve.
Well, this is going to be really interesting. We'll cut to it live. We'll get the sound street, and hopefully we come back
if it's still going on.
Absolutely. All right. 239-337-3776. Lots going on. Sheeman and Shepherd until 6. Always Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, right here, 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples, helping men stay in the game and live healthy, happy lives online at optimalmale.net. It is finally over. An epic 6-hour and about 40-minute battle at Wimbledon Semis has just come to a conclusion.
Kevin Anderson has won a remarkable marathon in the Wimbledon semifinal.
Kevin Anderson wins an epic fifth set, 26-24. The match was about 6 hours and about 37 minutes, something like that. Kevin Anderson from South Africa beats the American John Isner. That is going to go down as one of the greatest tennis matches, men or women, of all time. And it wasn't even the final. It was the semis. Absolutely incredible. Man, oh, man. That's what sports is all about right there. Great stuff. Meanwhile, NFL. Sean McCoy still big time in the news. Here's NFL's network Jeff Darlington talking about the situation.
If it feels like the league is taking their time with this, for instance, not necessarily using the commissioner's exemption list or any other means to take LeSean McCoy out of the mix and get ahead of this, it is because, at least based on my conversations, they have reason to try to maintain some patience and allow the police to investigate this matter.
He goes on to say that McCoy anticipated this woman would accuse him.
What we can also tell you, aside from the fact that the woman has told police that her ex-boyfriend may have set her up, is that LeSean McCoy himself, a year ago, told police that he anticipated the potential that this very woman would accuse him of something, perhaps even in a domestic assault type of nature.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, don't forget that McCoy has indeed hired Don Samuel, a very high-profile attorney, and there are those out there that say, that type of hire, you know, you're gonna it's an interesting get. You want to get the best out there. He's got the money to do it, but it does raise another red flag as far as I'm concerned. Meanwhile, also Darlington talks about the referee clinics going on right now in Dallas.
all of a sudden, we've seen four officials, two in the last couple months, of very senior status retire, while the NFL at the same time is implementing new rules that could change the fundamental way that the game is played. If this feels like a tough situation for this officials crew that's very young coming into this year, it's because it is. This is a tough one. The owners did not make it any easier on these officials by waiting long into the league year before approving these new rule changes that will change the way that players can tackle. So this is going to be big, this officiating clinic. These guys are going to have to go through a crash course very quickly. Otherwise, in September, we're going to start wondering why they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, you got that right. Al Riveron, by the way, Senior Vice President of NFL Officiating, we'll have some quotes from him from earlier today as well, and talking about also the new catch rule, which he think is a great rule. Meanwhile, Jacksonville Jaguars QB Blake Bortles is excited.
He looked good in OTAs in camp. He's definitely down some weight. He's running around good. For all those young guys, we had a bunch of young guys that played last year. So for them going into year two in Nathaniel's system, I think only helps. But bringing in, Andrew Norwell, adding him to the offensive line, and obviously Leonard getting an extra year of experience, I think it's only going to continue to get better as far as the run game goes, which kind of opens up everything else. That'll help us out a lot in the pass game and be able to create some stuff down the field off of play action and doing all that. So I'm really excited and looking forward to what's coming.
Blake Alicia, they're talking about Leonard Fournette, who's still upset that his rating is not good on Madden and threw a nutty yesterday and had back and forth words. Just other things to worry about. Meanwhile, Bortles talked about that the Jaguars are not going to catch anybody off guard this year.
I think last year kind of caught some teams by surprise, and if that's possible in the NFL, and I don't think that's something that's going to happen this year. I think the way we played, as good of our defense was, I think we're definitely a bit on people's radar now as far as a team that is headed in the right direction and a team to be taken seriously. So I think we're going to get everybody's best shot, which you do week in and week out in the NFL regardless. But I think we'll definitely get that, and the AFC South is going to be tough, and it's our goal every year to win that.
Meanwhile, talking about Carolina, Coach Turner, North Turner, says his job is to get some consistency out of Cam Newton.
His quarterback rating is as high as anyone's. It's in that high 90s, low 100s. But in the middle of that, of a 16-game season, he has those four or five games where that rating is not very good. So what we're going to try to work hard for is eliminate the peaks and the valleys, and try to, on a weekly basis, make it more consistent. And I think that'll help us offensively be more consistent, and certainly will help him.
Meanwhile, the Minnesota Vikings, some players, including Monsieur Talon, saying that the urgency for Kirk Cousins to click in with the offense will work in their favor.
I think it's a good thing. It's a good pressure to have because it makes us go work. And, for us, we had to take advantage of these OTAs, mini camp, to get on the same page. It takes a while as a receiver, quarterback to understand what they like, what they don't like, how they like routes ran, how they don't, and to kind of have multiple quarterbacks before that do it different ways takes a while. But we're excited about the progression we made, and we're excited to kind of get back to work.
Courtesy of the NFL Network right there. And then finally, Bears guard Kyle Long talking about Mitch Trubisky, the quarterback. He'll be unleashed. This is from the NFL Network.
Well, I'd say they took his training wheels off this spring, and I can only envision like a 3-year-old Mitch Trubisky riding around training wheels being pissed off because he wants to go over the jumps and he wants to do all the tricks like the big kids are doing, because that's what Mitch is. He's a kid, but he can roll with the big guys, and that's what he's going to be able to do this year. He's going to be able to have some freedom and creativity, and we really respect that about Coach Nagy. He's letting him, he's letting him fly his freak flag.
Well, say
what?
He's letting him fly his freak flag.
So you called your quarterback a freak flag flyer, whatever that means, and a child.
See, these are the type of nicknames we're going to get into next hour, because at some point. We are going to get into some of these nicknames because that's part of the program today. Best nicknames in any locker room in the NFL. Got them all for you and the genesis of those. Lots more to talk about. We'll keep you updated on all things NFL, some college football news to tell you about. Still in the NBA, Isaiah Thomas signs that one-year deal with the Denver Nuggets. He nearly had a max contract in the making, it seemed, not too long ago. Some college football news as well. And we've got some great – we got Rob Bradford coming up today from Fenway Park talking about the Red Sox, the AL East, and all things baseball. A lot of trade rumors are going around out there. We'll get Rob's opinion. He's one of the best in the business. And Morgan Madness as well, our fourth edition coming up at 4:45 today. Don't want to miss that. All part of Sheeman and Shepherd until 6 right here on 99.3 ESPN.